started yelling, and I heard her through the mic, and I got nervous, so I turned it off, so I'd make sure I turned it back on. Good evening. It's been a while. We've been busy with our Lads to Leaders, what I'm calling our tour dates, where we're going to all these other churches. We've had area-wide, we've had a lot going on. But tonight, I'm back. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. But before we look at this, I want us to back up a little bit and see what's happening, see what's going on at this time. And I want us to go back to this time. As we look, and Logan read earlier, we see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and he went through all of Galilee teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And everyone brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons. And we see this in verse 25. And great crowds followed him from Galilee. And we see in verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain where he sat down. His disciples came to him. We have Jesus, and he's proclaiming the good news. He's spreading the gospel. He's healing the sick, and he's getting a lot of attention from it. And while he's getting this attention, people start to notice, and they start to surround him. They want to be around him. They want to bring people to him. They want everyone to see Jesus. I want to put us in their shoes right now, just like we would want to. We would want to see Jesus. So what do? We go, we find him, and we follow him. And while he's being followed, he looks around, he notices that there's a large crowd that is following him, and he sees these people, and he looks at this as a good opportunity to go up to a mountain and to sit. See, the teacher usually doesn't sit. The teacher doesn't usually stand. The teacher usually sits in this time, while everybody else stands and they listen to what he has to say. And here we have the start on the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermons in all the world. And though Chris has a lot of really good sermons, sorry, Chris, I'm a little biased towards Jesus. This is a fantastic sermon. And he starts off with the Beatitudes. Help if it's turned on. He starts off with the Beatitudes. And he looks at these Beatitudes and he says them, "Poor, or blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We have the Beatitudes. We have the start of this Sermon on the Mount, and he's thrown these things out, and it's a lot right here. It's a lot off the bat, and it's a lot for people to understand. In today's world, it's very odd for the world to normalize what the Beatitudes mean. It's very odd for them to look at the Beatitudes and it makes sense to them. Because why would you want to be poor in the spirit? Why would you want to mourn? Why would you want to be meek? Why would you want to be persecuted? They don't understand that. But what they see is it leads into something else. You see, Jesus gets done with this. He moves forward in his sermon and he uses these to encourage the listeners to add these things to their character, to be these things in the world. And why does he want us to do that? Well, it comes in Matthew chapter 5. So we can be the salt of the earth. So we can be the light of the world. So we can influence the people around us. And when we come to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And we see these things, and it's crazy for us to think that we cannot be the influence in the world. It's crazy for us to think that we can't influence people by our actions. Every one of us in here tonight influences someone else in our lives. From the youngest person to the oldest person here, we are influential in the things that we do. Whether it's by our actions, whether it's by the way we speak, whether it's through our job, through our work, through our schools, whatever it might be, we have someone that we're influencing. And it's for us to be this salt and be this light in the world so we can influence the people around us. So tonight, as we're looking at this, We're going to look at the passage, and we're going to see Jesus uses two metaphors to describe the influence that we have within our world as salt and light and everyday things. Jesus uses these two metaphors. If the salt is to be used as a preservative, it must retain its saltiness. If the light is going to penetrate the darkness, it must be allowed to shine. And that's what we're taking a look at tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. It should be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The salt and the light. You are the salt of the earth. And of course, this is going to be our point one. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Jesus introduces his first metaphor here. He introduces us being as salt of the earth. And we look at times, we look at their times, and salt, for the most part, was not used to make this food taste better. It was used to make food last longer. It'd be put on the meat that they kill, and they'd add salt, and they'd be able to keep that meat a little bit longer. It's there to preserve. It's there to keep this meat edible for longer in this time. And that's exactly what he's looking at here. And what he's wanting us to do here, salt was used as a preservative. He's wanting us as Christians to preserve the world, to be that preservative in the world itself. We see here the world around us is decaying and rotting, and we as the Christians are the salt that can hinder that decay as long as we retain our saltiness. As long as we can stay within Christ, as long as we can continue to be that good example. That's what we're here to be, is this good example, to be this salt of the earth. And we see many things about this salt. We see many things regarding it. But it's up to us to look at the world around us. You see, when we live out these Beatitudes, when we have these characteristics that the Beatitudes say, we are that godly influence to the world that allows us to hinder this decay, that allows us to hinder the bad that's going on in this world. But then also we have, how do we act as salt in the world? It's very simple. With love. With love and spreading the gospel. If we don't show love, we don't show Jesus. If we don't show love, we definitely don't show the gospel itself. How are we the salt of the world? It's by our love, it's by our actions, it's by the things that we're doing in our life that shows that we are that good example. Next, you're the light of the world. Light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Have you ever experienced absolute darkness before? I've been in certain times where I felt like it was dark in my life, that I really couldn't see many things around me. Julie and I had an opportunity to go to the Wind Cave National Park. I'll be honest, I'm an animal person, wasn't too excited about Wind Cave. It's in a cave. But as we're walking into this cave, the guy says, "Listen, you can't have any lights on. It has to be pitch black as you enter this cave. And once we get down to this first landing, I think it was like 50 or something steps, you can turn lights on and we can look around and see what's around us." And I've never experienced absolute darkness until that moment. When they had this little doorway you walked in and you had to sit there and they briefed you on what's going on, telling you to be safe, don't do this, don't do that. Hunter, don't climb up the side of the wall, but stay on the path. And then they lead you through the next door and there's still some light showing, and then they lock that door behind you. And you experience absolute darkness. And while you're experiencing this absolute darkness, and you, the phrase like you can't see the hand in front of your face, you can't see anything in front of you. You couldn't see yourself. You can't see the person. All you can do is feel at this moment. And as you go down these steps, you experience this. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the ones pushing that darkness out, getting rid of that darkness in the world itself. We see this as that second metaphor, obviously, that Jesus uses here. But here we are the light of the world. We are to shine the light of Christ into the darkness of this world. And how do we do that? It's by being Christians. It's by doing the same things as the salt of the earth. You see here, without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we are darkness. But with Christ, that's where we get that light. That's where we get this light of the world itself. As Christian and as Christ ambassadors, we have the same basic ministry as Jesus did. He called us to shine the light of Christ into the darkest and influence the world through our good works and the good news, which is the gospel, what he also did himself. And we see that. We see John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We do not have any light within ourselves, as I mentioned, that we have no light within ourselves. We don't naturally glow in any way, but yet we get that light from Christ. We get that light from being Christians. 1 John chapter 5, supposed to be 4 and 5. "In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then, of course, we also had, verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." He tells us to shine brightly and not hide our light in this world. Our good works done in the name of Christ will impact our world. We sing the psalm, "This little light of mine," when it comes to VBS. I feel like we sing it every single day at VBS. And what's the part? "Hide it under a bushel, you'll know. I'm going to let it shine." Don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a light stand so it gives light to all in the house. What's the point of having all this light as a Christian if we're going to put it away? What's this point of having all this light in this world if we're going to hide it behind the things because we're too embarrassed to let it shine? Or we're afraid of what people say if we let it shine. Or we're afraid of what the world's going to do or how the world's going to look at us if we let our light shine for Christ. Make sure we're not putting our light under a basket, but instead we're letting that light shine around to the people around us. And then we have the effects of being salt and light. What are these effects? These effects are very simple. Evil will be restrained. We said that the salt of the being the salt is to help the decay process. It is to help it from rotting away. We see the light is to help push things or help to show things in the darkness itself. There will always be evil in the world, but we can restrain it by being the salt and the light. Every single day we're going to run into evil. Every single day we're going to run into temptation. We're going to run into sin. We're going to run into whatever it might be. But as salt and light, we're here to restrain that evil. And every single one of us are here to help that process. Every single one of us are here to help restrain this evil every single day. And I know what you're thinking. It's hard to restrain this evil. It's hard to be this bright light if you're just one person. Last year, I had this neat idea, what I thought was a neat idea that we were going to do. And we were going to go down during Maywood. We were going to go down into the storm shelter. And I felt like that might have been the darkest place at Maywood. I'm not sure if it actually is. And we're going to have these little battery-powered lights, just like a little candle. And one person was going to light it, and it was going to illuminate a little bit. And the next person would light theirs. And eventually, everyone down there would have their candle lit. And it was going to light up the room. It is hard to be that one light. It is hard to make that impact as one light in this world. But you have to understand, you're not one light in this world. You have other brothers and sisters in Christ who are also supposed to be this light of the world, who are also supposed to be this a good example. And when you combine all of you in this room, and you combine your lights that are shining for Christ, that's where that light gets brighter. That's where that light gets stronger. That's where we gain some confidence in this world. That's where we really get to push back evil. That's where we really get to retain that evil, that decay of this world, is by working together. And then secondly, God will be glorified. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." It's great to be a Christian. It's great to do all these things. It's great to have all these beatitudes that are said. But it's for God's glory. We're not doing this thing. We're not doing Christianity for us. We're not doing all these great works for ourselves. We're not doing all these things so we can poke out our chest and say, how great am I? How good am I doing? We're doing all these great things so we can point to God and say, how great is God? How great is God doing at this time? That's why we're doing it. We're doing it so God can be glorified. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. For some people, you might not even have to turn. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2, and we might look at a couple more real quick. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others, before other people, in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. You see that. You see the same thing happening in the Lord's Prayer in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. You continue reading. You see the fasting. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they are disfigured their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Lay up your treasures in heaven in verse 19. Do not lay up yourself treasures on earth. We're here to do God's glory. There's a difference between doing good things for God's glory and doing good things for our glory. And we have to be very careful on which way we go for that. We should not do things in front of others to be noticed by them. But instead, we need to do things in front of others so that they may notice God. You see, we have to let our light shine so God can be seen through us. We want God to be seen through us. And then we need to walk in the light. We might at times be in darkness ourselves. We might at times be so distracted, be so caught up, be so whatever that might be in the world itself, that we just can't let that light shine. We might have our light hidden under a basket. We might be struggling with a certain sin, and that's that darkness in our lives that we just can't get rid of. We might have struggles. We might have temptations. We might have whatever that might be in your life that's keeping you from shining that light as bright as possible. That might be an issue. But we need to make sure that we're taking these darknesses to Jesus over and over again. Taking our sins to Jesus, taking our troubles, taking our temptations, taking whatever that might be that's keeping us from being that light, keeping us from being that salt of the earth, so we can be more like Jesus. That we're constantly taking them to Him. Where are we harboring our darkness? Where do you need to let your light shine in your lives? Walking in light isn't just about being good, it's about bringing your darkness to Jesus. And we have three, subcategories as far as the world goes. You see, you might be lazy when it comes to the world. Laziness is very contagious sometimes. It doesn't get you far in life, and it doesn't get you far in spreading the gospel itself. You see, laziness is being an influence in an evil world takes a lot of effort. We're supposed to be these influences. We're supposed to be these different people. We're supposed to be these Christians. We're supposed to be this light. We're supposed to be this salt. But oftentimes it takes a lot more effort than what we're willing to put in. A lot of times we start to be this light, or we start to be this salt, and we realize that it's a lot harder than we think. Or maybe we think that it's somebody else's job. Or maybe we think that we don't know enough, we're not good enough, we're going to make these excuses not to be this salt, not to be this light. But instead we're going to choose to be lazy. And that's not what we need in this world right now. We might be tempted to compromise. That's tough. That's a real thing. That's what a lot of people struggle with. You see, we stand for Christianity. We stand for all these things, and we claim to be Christians. It's hard to beat the world. You know what? It's hard to be the light in the dark world. In this world, there's going to be a lot more dark than there is light. And it's easy to get caught up in these compromises. There are times when it's easier to play along or just go, or just not to get involved in the first place when it comes to being a light, being salt of the earth, being a Christian in this world. A lot of times it's real easy to sit back and say, you know what, it's just easier not to get myself involved. You know what, it's just easier for, you know what, we'll do a little bit. We'll do some of what the world's doing, but yet we're not going to go fully into the world. And church, that's also a slippery slope. When you compromise to one thing in the world, when you compromise to one darkness of the world, it's easy to slip and start compromising to a lot more. And lastly, we might be afraid. We might be afraid to stand up and be these Christians that we need to be. The fear of man can have a great negative influence on us if we're not careful. If we're not constantly living in Christ, if we're not constantly seeking Christ, if we're not constantly making sure that our light is shining and that our salt is salty, it can be real easy for us to get scared in this world. It can be real easy for us to conform to this world, to be tempted to compromise, to be lazy. It can be all these things. But you could also be afraid. Afraid to spread the gospel, afraid to stand up, afraid to make a stand. Afraid to tell your family you're not going any closer to the world as you are right now. You could be afraid. So now what? What's special about light of the world? What's special about being the salt and being the light? What's special about letting people... What do we do next? We get it. We're supposed to be this light. We're supposed to be this salt. We're supposed to go out so people can see God through us. Now we get to sweep through the world as salt and light and make a difference. We're studying the book of Colossians in our high school class. And that's exactly kind of what we studied this morning. Paul's writing to the church of Colossae. And he sat there and he's saying, hey, listen, the rest of the world is doing what you're doing. They're growing. Christianity's spreading like wildfire at that time. And right now, God's light gets to spread like wildfire through you. Tonight, you can evaluate yourself. You can see if you've been the salt, you've been the light. You can see how that light's influencing the people around you. Maybe that light's not so bright anymore. Maybe that light's been dimmed by the world, by your way of life, your decisions you've made. Maybe it's been dimmed. Or maybe you have that light and you want to let that light shine, but you just can't lift up that basket that's covering it. You can't get that basket off of it. You can't put it up on that stand and be proud of that light you have. Maybe you are the salt of the earth, but you've just lost a little bit of saltiness. And you want that saltiness to be restored. You have the opportunity tonight to do that. If you have prayers that need to be prayed, you have that opportunity. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been baptized into God's kingdom and you haven't been that light or that salt, you have that opportunity tonight as well. Whatever your need may be, just please let it be known as we stand and sing.